It's so good to be found in the house of the Lord. And I'm always very grateful that the Lord always gives us a place, a wonderful premise to come and worship Him, to adore you, to adore Him and to praise His name, and to be gathered together in fellowship. So let us pray as we begin. Father, we thank you, Lord, for indeed, Lord, you are the great God. And indeed, Lord, you are the great provider. Indeed, you are the great blesser. And so today we come before you once again to thank you, and that, Lord, that we come before you, building an altar before you, Lord, to raise our voice to you and to declare that you are good. And that, Lord, that today, even as we hear your words, Lord, even as we have sung, we just need one word from you, and that will propel us, for your word is great. And so today, Lord, for the hearers and for the speakers alike, that, Lord, that you bless us and that we'll learn of your word, and that, Lord, that we will renew our walk and faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Today, we are going to talk about Isaac. And today we look at Genesis 26 to learn the faith walk of Isaac and how the Lord blessed him. And the key verse that we have is from Genesis 26 that says in verse 12, Isaac planted crops in that land and the same year reaped 100-fold because the Lord blessed him. And the Lord also gave him a spacious space to flourish in the land. And today in our midst, in our church, we have a number of Isaacs. The Isaacs around, can you raise your hand? It's a very good name because the Lord gave this name to this person, this patriarch called Isaac. And we also have a number of people here by the name of Joseph. And we are waiting for Abraham and Jacob. Because God introduces himself as a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it is through Isaac that God's covenantal blessing to Abraham will flow through the generations in that lineage. And we who are in Christ, we who are in Christ Jesus, become a part of that Abrahamic covenant and blessing. And while the Bible makes references on Isaac in a number of passages, it is only in Genesis 26 that is specially devoted to Isaac. Whereas for Abraham, there are 14 chapters, and for Jacob, 11 chapters. And that, in comparison, that leads many Bible commentaries to actually say that Isaac is the son of a great father and the father of a great son. But Isaac is a patriarch in the Old Testament and one of the four great men that is mentioned in Genesis. And so, and also because God refers himself, God introduces himself in Exodus as I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so, therefore, Isaac is to be honored. Isaac is the son of promise, and as the son of promise, he is pivotal in God's salvation plan. Isaac serves as a beacon for believers who would serve God, who serve God loyally. And today, we will look at Isaac's journey of faith, looking at how he demonstrated living to be found in God's will, to be delighting in God, to be found in the center of God's will for him in his life, and finding favor with God. Because he's found in God's delight, God's favor flows to him. And we too, even as we try to draw valuable lessons as we go through Genesis 26, and that as we try to emulate how Isaac had lived, that we ourselves will be able to receive the same kind of blessings that Isaac received. And the Lord blessed him 100-fold. Yes, the favor of God upon Isaac could be ours too when we are in the covenant partnership with the Lord our God. So, who is Isaac? So, Isaac is known as the son of promise because he's the promised son that God gave to Abraham and Sarah. So, Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90 years old. The birth was miraculous because it was physically impossible for Sarah to be giving birth at that age. But the Lord gave. And this is the son of promise. Isaac is his name. And God himself gave him this name, Isaac. You remember that for Abraham and Jacob, their names were changed at some turning point in their life where God came. But for Isaac, his name remained because the Lord, our God, gave him that name from the very start. And the covenant blessing that God made to Abraham was to pass down through him onto Jacob and to the lineage, and that we who are also in Christ Jesus come under that blessing. Isaac lived in the delight of God, as we can see from the stature of this man. And if Abraham is called the father of faith, Abraham, exemplary in his faith, Isaac is one exemplary in his obedience. So let's take a look at some of the ways in which he has been exemplary in his obedience unto the Lord. First, he was willing to be sacrifice. So, we know this story very, very well of Abraham passing the test in his faith with flying colors, when God told him to go to the Mount Moriah with his son Isaac for Isaac to be sacrificed. And they made a journey from Beersheba to Mount Moriah, a 3-day journey. And so Isaac followed him. Abraham passed with flying colors, right? But what about Isaac? As we look at Isaac, what was it in Isaac that said so much about him? Isaac was willing to be sacrificed. And while in many pictures it depicts Isaac as a very young boy, unable to struggle with his father and to be bound. But really, Isaac wasn't a lad at that point in time. Isaac was grown up, at least in his late teens or even in the early 30s. So he's already a grown-up man. And so he could have easily overpowered his father, who was already way into his 100s. But Isaac did not. He willingly offered himself to be sacrificed. And there in the thicket, God provided a substitute, a ram. And so Isaac, who was supposed to be sacrificed, was spared because God provided a substitute. Next, we see in this time, Isaac had already grown up. He's now 40 years old. And so Abraham, in his old age, wished and desired to see that the son Isaac have a wife. And so Abraham sent his faithful servant Eliezer to go to his the place of his ancestors to Haran in and to find a suitable girl for Isaac. And so as it turns out, the Lord really showed Eliezer who this girl is. And then brought this girl. And so this was Isaac now coming out from coming out into the Negev, into the field in the Negev, and he was meditating. And lo and behold, he saw an entourage of camels coming his way. And as he looked, Rebecca also looked, and they saw each other. And so what happened? It was related to him by Eliezer of the Lord's blessing and the Lord's showing that this girl, Rebecca, is for him as is to be his wife. So how many of you would simply marry somebody at first sight? But here, because of his faith in God, that Isaac is convinced that it is God's will for him and that Rebecca is the one, he married Rebecca. Okay, so they were married in the tent of his mother, Sarah. So really, you know, Isaac is such an obedient person unto the Lord. And so at this point in time, I feel that God made it easy for him. Because Rebecca was a very pretty girl. And it was love at first sight. And so he got married. Wonderful, right? It's what we call a marriage made in heaven. And so God's blessing was upon him. He obeyed God and the blessing came. And also another point at Gerar, which is the topic of our discussion today in Genesis 26. At Gerar, he obeyed God's instruction not to proceed to Egypt, but to stay on in the land for a while. So you can see Isaac exemplary in his obedience unto his father, unto God. Isaac is also one who is very prayerful and worshipful. And how do we know this? Because if you have your Bible with you, I hope you have your physical Bible, turn to this part, Genesis 24, verse 62, that says that he meditates. So it was here in the Negev, in the field in the Negev, that he went out to meditate. And that was the time that he also encountered this entourage with Rebecca coming to be his wife. And he also prays. Genesis 25, verse 21. And we also learn that 20 years into their marriage, they still did not have a child because Rebecca was barren. And so here, Isaac, a righteous man, he prayed, and the Lord hears the prayers of the righteous. And he prayed for Rebecca, who was barren, and he became the father to Esau and Jacob at the age of 60. So if you have your newsletter with you, the sermon notes that's given to you, I have included in the sermon notes a map. So let's take a look at this map. Okay, just to have a sense of the where and when it all happens for Isaac. So Isaac grew up in Beersheba. And then by the time he was tending his own herds and also in agriculture, he had moved on. And then he was in Beer Lahai Roy. And then it was from there that he came out into the field in the desert and meditated, and that's where he met Rebecca. And then they got married in the tent of his mother, Sarah. And the Bible said, and so he was comforted. Because his mother had died 3 years before then. And so, got married and lived in the tent of his mother. All provided for. No need to wait for your BTO. That may take 4 to 5 years. It's all prepared. So he went there. Right? So they stayed there. And it was only after the death of Abraham that they moved back to Beer Lahai Roy. And then Genesis 26 begins. In Genesis 26, they had to leave because of a famine. And where did they go? So you can see the map. They headed for Gerar because Gerar is the place where they can connect to the highway that will lead them on to Egypt on this side. Okay? Okay, so now come to how Isaac was living in God's delight. Okay, let's read from Genesis 26. Okay, Genesis 26. Now there was a famine in the land besides the previous famine in Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because Abraham obeyed me and did everything I required of him, keeping my commands, my decrees, and my instructions." And so, Isaac stayed in Gerar. And verse 12 says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and the same year reaped 100-fold, because the Lord blessed him. Okay. So once again, famine struck in the land, as it had happened in his father's time, Father Abraham, that was many, many decades ago. And once again, they all had to leave. They all flocked. It was famine time. And here it was for their family, for their people, for their tribe, for their herds. In a drought, there's no water. So they had to move. And so the worldview is this. Go to Egypt. For Egypt is the place which is the breadbasket. Egypt is the place where there's this river Nile flowing through the land and onto the delta, the Nile Delta, and onto the sea. And so Egypt did not really require so much rain because there's a river flowing through it. And so at a time of famine, the intention of everyone, the crowd, will proceed to Egypt. But Egypt, in the Bible, going back to Egypt is always seen as a bad choice. Egypt represents a life of slavery. Egypt represents slavery in all its forms of idolatry. And it's not a life of covenant with God. But Egypt is where everyone will seek to take refuge, especially when there's drought in the land. And how do we know that Isaac was also heading to Egypt, because he said that he headed and he went to see and met up with the king, King Abimelech, in Gerar. How do we know that he was also intending to go to Egypt? Well, because God appeared to him and said, do not go to Egypt. God knows every heart. And because his intention was to go to Egypt, God intervened and appeared to him and said, do not go to Egypt. So, Isaac obeyed. Because the Lord spoke to him, Isaac obeyed and Isaac stayed on in Gerar. Isaac's worldview changed because he heard a word from God. No longer was he going to Egypt, but he stayed on. His biblical worldview has changed because God told him to stay in the land for a while. And because he did so, he was blessed. And he planted. And within the year, it was a 100-fold blessing for him. He received a 100-fold reward and he became a very wealthy man. And so, what is the learning point here? The learning point is that as covenant people, God keeps us in his view and he has plans for our good to prosper us and not to harm us. Okay? And then, is that when we obey God's instruction to go or to stay, we can be assured of his presence to lead us and guide us no matter where he places us, like he did for Isaac. So, I don't know about you, but for the important decisions that you have to make in your life, especially when it involves your future, the decision that you make today will impact you in your future, will impact you in your future generation, in your future dwelling, your future dealings. So, young people, about finding your wife or your husband or about your career, it's very important to seek the Lord. About where you live, it's so important to seek the Lord. And so, I wish to share about my experience. When I was 17 years of age, I was desperately lonely, out in the middle of the sea. 17 years old, I was a schoolboy in pre-university. And then, in my desperate time, I went before the Lord, and the Lord gave me a word. And this was the word. That time, I was reading from the Revised Standard Version. And it says, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me. And all it took was for this word to come upon me. It was a Rhema word. And I got out of that depression. And so I came home. And then I decided that I will make a career at sea. And so I did the preparations. And after my national service, I received training and I was certified to be fit to be working on a ship. So I had received my competency certificate to work on a ship. But before I got onto the ship, I was fearful. I was fearful. Although I had planned to make it my career, but at the point when I was about to embark, I was very fearful. Fearful about my future. Fearful about whether I will be lonely. Fearful about whether in time to come, that I will find a girl who will love me enough to want to marry me for the person who works away from home for months on months. And so that was my fear. And then I recalled, I went back to this verse that the Lord had given me, because to me, it's not only a calling verse, but it's also a promise that even when I go to the uttermost parts of the sea, even in the middle of the ocean, that the Lord will be with me and that He will hold me, He will guide me, and He will hold me with His righteous right hand. And then I got lifted up because of the promise that God gave me. And so I went. And so my very first company, very first ship, I went to Robinson Road because I was told that this company, there's a ship now in port and they need people. So I went and I went in through the doorway in this Robinson Road shipping company. And then I was going to see the crewing manager to be recruited to work on this ship. And at the doorway, I met a dozen crewmen that they just came down from this ship. And so I started talking to them. And then I found that they were all dejected people, low morale. And they told me that they had a hard time working in this ship. And so I thought to myself, I said, why should I be joining this ship when a dozen people are getting off the ship? Because they were not happy for whatever reason. And so instead of going to the crew manager's office, I turned around and I went off. But I was really disappointed because I was looking forward to start sailing. But actually what happened was, So a month later, I got a very good company and then I started sailing. And some months out at sea in the South China Sea, one day I received, the ship received a telegram about safety issues and so on. And so the radio officer at the time, he was in charge of this and he produced this safety document. And then I look at it and this ship that I was supposed to join sank. There was a mayday message that came out and the ship sank. The ship sank in the Indian Ocean off the Arabian coast. So I thought to myself, I pity those people who are on board, but I thought to myself, God held my hand and took me out of the situation that I was supposed to be joining the ship, but the Lord took me out and placed me on another ship. So, and there are many other stories I can tell you. Okay, out at sea, there's so many things that indeed the Lord had been with me to lead me, to guide me, and also in things of safety. Okay, there's another time. I was on a very large ship, and we sailed, and we were too late. We could not get out, and we went into the eye of the storm, into the hurricane. Hurricane force, Beaufort scale force 12. That's the highest, from 0 to 12. And we were in that Beaufort 12. And so it was quite scary. But I didn't think so much about it. And therefore, when I came back, I didn't tell too many people about it. But now looking back, and when I look at the documentaries, National Geographic and other documentaries on disasters caused by nature, so it says. Yeah? And I saw how dangerous it could have been. But the Lord took me out of danger. And so, the Lord gave me a girl who is prepared to marry me while I was still sailing. And then, so the intention was for her to join me on the ship. And by that time, I was senior enough for the company to allow me to bring my wife on board. And then I could continue on sailing for a much longer time. But Serena couldn't take the sea. In that voyage, she was seasick all the way. And so I had to do something. I had to move out of this and then find an alternative career. And then an opportunity came, and I was, but I had to spend 3 years away. Serena can join me, of course. Spend 3 years away to study. So the organization was prepared to take me in, send me overseas to UK for 3 years study, and then to come back and to serve. And it was a big struggle. Why a big struggle? The big struggle was because I do not know what the future holds. In that 3 years, under sponsorship, I would be living in a meager allowance. My wife would have to resign from a job, and then we have to live on a small amount of money. And so, could we live with that kind of an allowance? Then, there's a bond attached to this, and it would be to the tune of close to $300,000. This was in the 1980s. So it's a very, very big money at that time, and my two brothers had to stand as guarantor. And so, no matter how, I have to make sure that I pass well and to come back to serve in the company. And they say, sea salt is not very good. It causes corrosion, right? Sea salt, the sea wind causes corrosion. So I wasn't too sure whether it caused anything to the mine as well. Surely not. But I was thinking that I was, by this time, in my late 20s, could I get back to academic life? Huh? At that time, I felt I was too old to go back to school. So there was this unease, great unease. And then I thought through, and Serena said, let's go. Because when you are in the university environment, let's go together and we find fellowship in the Christian Fellowship Network. Let's go and find the church there. And then during that time, we will build up our faith, we will grow in the Word. And so, but I was still very fearful. And then I recall that the Lord had given me, but this promise is about dwelling in the uttermost parts of the sea. But now I was going to settle beyond the sea for 3 years. And so, by this time, I was reading from the New International Version, the NIV. Why? Because my girlfriend gave me an NIV Bible. So when your girlfriend gave you an NIV Bible, you must read, right? So I put aside my RSV version and I took on the NIV, and then I went to check on this verse. So I put them side by side. And then I found that Psalm 139 verse 9 and 10 in the NIV says, if I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, in the UK, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. And so when I got this word, it was a rhema word for me, that now God tells me that now I want to settle in another place, even there He will be with me. And so, that's where we went. That's where we saw the Lord's blessing. And a lot of things that I could tell you how the Lord bless us. But one thing I will share. This is, you know, I told you that no matter how I have to pass, right? I cannot fail. It was a great stress because it's like, it's not your money that you're spending, and then if you don't make it, okay, you suffer it yourself. But this is something that you have to pay back. And so while I was okay in all my subjects, because it was a maritime in nature, there was one particular subject that was really very tough on me. It was accountancy. And it was a subject that was serviced by another department, and so I didn't get much tutorial out of it. No tutorial, in fact, only lecture. And so when I was 2 weeks before the exam, I felt that, oh, I would surely fail. And I actually got a bit panicky and went to try to find the lecturer. He wasn't in his room. I couldn't find him. So in the end, I came back and my wife became my tutor. You know, so in that 2 weeks, I did a lot of model answer questions. And then when the exam came, question number one was 40 marks. Okay? And that's the main question. And as it turns out, in the end, through some miraculous way, I got the answer right. Yeah. In fact, I worked through and it didn't work. And then I recall that in my model answer, I have done a similar question. Then I said, if I multiply the figures all by 2, I get the answer. So I worked backwards, and indeed, it turned out, so I got full marks for that question number one. And so what I was, the subject that I was going to fail in, I ended up having a distinction. So to me, that was a miracle of God. Okay? Yeah. So, okay, moving on. So, you see, it's important to hear a word from God. Important to follow what God tells you to do, what not to do. And that when God has given you a word of promise, cling to that. Okay? And from time to time, you may need it again to revisit before the Lord, and that these are the promises that you have already heard that the Lord telling you that the Lord will be faithful and the Lord will keep you true. So, but today we are talking about Isaac. Okay, so let's go back to Isaac. So Isaac moved, in verse 17, so Isaac moved away from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar. So you see, the Lord told him to stay, so he stayed, and then he moved to settle there. Right? So by now we have seen that the Lord has blessed him a hundredfold. And so as we continue, what took place actually at the valley of Gerar, what happened was he became so successful, became so rich that they became to be envious of him. So the people in Gerar became very envious of him. Not only were they envious of him, they became frightened of him because they say he was getting to be too powerful. And so the king Abimelech sent him away, because the king in verse 16 says, move away from us because you have become too powerful. And so that's what he did. So Isaac moved away and he went down to the valley and he encamped at the valley of Gerar. So he had gone down to the valley and encamped. And then he reopened the wells that his father Abraham had used previously. Okay, and after that, the people in Gerar had covered it up. And so he went there to reduct those wells, and they found water. But the Philistines came, stopped them, and then chased them away. Okay, so verse 18, Isaac reopened the wells that had been reduct in the time of his father Abraham, which the Philistines had stopped up after Abraham died. And he gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac's servants dug the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. Verse 20, but the herders of Gerar quarreled with those of Isaac and said, the water is ours. So he named the well Isaac because they disputed with him. Then they dug another well, but they quarreled also over that one, and he named it Sitnah. He moved on from there and dug another well, and no one quarreled with him this time. He named it Rehoboth, saying, now the Lord has given us room and we will flourish in the land. So Isaac moved on. In the third well, no one quarreled with him, and he was blessed plentifully. No one quarreled with him, either because they saw him moving in peace and so on, and so finally they left him in peace, or it could be because he had moved further away and is no longer a threat, or at least the people in Gerar did not no longer feel that he was a threat. Because at that time, when you dig a well and you find water and you live around there, you're actually claiming that that area is yours. Okay. So now the Lord has given him room and that he will flourish there. And yes, God delighted in Isaac as the peacemaker, and he favored him with a spacious space. Okay, so in Rehoboam, that's what he found. So, is there any learning point from here? Isaac remained peaceable in spite of oppositions. He simply moved on after naming the place contention, Isaac, and after naming the place opposition, Sitnah. And move on to the third well, and he found that he could operate there. So, the question is, shouldn't we actually fight for our rights? Because, strictly speaking, those were the wells of his father Abraham, and he could have fought for it. But Isaac did not. Isn't it true that in our own case, that there are people in our midst, whether in the workplace or sometimes even in the ministry, that there are opponents who would come to block us. Okay, especially unbelievers, as they see us doing a certain ministry, they may object to it, and they may want to block us. And they operate everywhere, anywhere, right? But never allow them to kill our faith. So whether we should fight for our rights or whether we should move on, incidentally, moving on is not a surrender. Moving on is to keep the peace for a future good. So the important thing is to seek the Lord for direction. Do I fight for this or do I move on? And usually if it's a case that if you fight, and even if you win, you still lose. You lose the goodwill. You lose the opportunity to befriend these people. You lose a friend. Then, quite likely, it is not the case to fight. And so, seek the Lord, and the Lord will give you the direction. So, one advice I was given is this. Choose your battles wisely. To choose my battles wisely. Know when to fight for your rights and when to give in. And I suppose Isaac made the right choice, and he is wise to be the peacemaker in this case. And so Isaac, instead of fretting and creating another dispute on the matter, he wisely moved on peaceably without getting into what could have been an unnecessary battle. Because even if he had won the battle, there will be constant reprisals from those against him, and there will be no peace in the land. And so he moved on, and as we see, the Lord bless him. Okay. So now he's got plenty of room. So the natural thing would be to settle there, right? Right? Yeah. So it's a place that God has given him, place that God has blessed him, a spacious space. So, but what do we then see? Okay, so incidentally, the map that you have, so now he has gone down to Rehoboth. He's there now. And so let's take a look. So the verse before that was that the Lord has blessed him and he called the place Rehoboth. But the very next verse in verse 23, he says that from there he went up to Beersheba. That night, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bless you and I will increase the number of your descendants for the sake of my servant Abraham. And Isaac built an altar there and called on the name of the Lord. There he pitched his tent. That means he settled there. He pitched his tent and there his servants dug a well. So what actually took place is that now Isaac, overflowing with the blessing that God has given him in Rehoboth. But it appears to me that all this material wealth no longer stands as important to him as much as his relationship and dwelling with God. And so, straight away, he went up to Beersheba. What was the reason? So, just now on my way to this place in Village Hotel, I passed by Steel Road and Lorong J. And then my heart went to a place in Lorong J. And I thought about it as my wife was driving. I thought about it. I said, that was the place where I grew up. For the first 17 years of my life, I was living in Lorong J. And so I recalled the times. And I recalled the time when I was 15 years old, when I received the Lord Jesus, and I came home and I told my sister, and I was figuring out where was this place in the living room that I stood with my sister and I told her that I received the Lord Jesus. So, there's a special affinity to the place, and there's a special affinity to the places that you have been when you use as a place of meditation or a place of prayer unto the Lord. Sure, you can find God anywhere, right? God is omnipresent. But in your heart, there's always specific places that you like to go to. And so it was here. From there, Isaac went up to Beersheba. And as if, and it is, he received God's approval and God appeared to him, right? So a significant change happened in his life. And as I reflected on this, is that if God had been leading Isaac through the oppositions of the previous wells that he dug and opposition from the people from Gerar, he was actually in a process where if there's opposition, he moves on. If there's no opposition, he will stay. Okay? It is proceeding in a manner that is out of circumstances. But now I begin to see that Isaac has changed that. First, he went to the place of calling. He went to the place to build an altar unto the Lord. And then he worshiped or called on the name of the Lord. And then he pitched his tent. And then he sent his people to dig the well. It's in a reverse order. Okay? Last time he would dig a well, pitch a tent, but now it's a reverse order. He has put God first in his life. In a very significant way, he has changed
And so, but why did he go to Bathsheba? So Bathsheba was a special place to him. He grew up there. You remember? It was when he was weaned, W-E-A-N, he was weaned soon after birth, that that Hagar, the slave girl, and Ishmael, was sent out. Okay, and because Sarah said that the son of the slave woman will not have an inheritance. Yeah, so that's where we know that Isaac stayed in, was in Bathsheba. So it was his birthplace. It was where he lived for many years. And so, not only that, but a couple of decades later, it was from there in Bathsheba that Isaac followed his father to Mount Moriah. Okay, so from Bathsheba to Mount Moriah, he was supposed to be sacrificed, but the Lord spared him with a substitute, and they both came back to Bathsheba. So if I were Isaac, it was a time when I get back to Bathsheba, it was a time of rejoicing, a time of great gratitude because I've been spared. So just imagine what that place means to Isaac. So here in Bathsheba, he would have called on God and be eternally grateful because the Lord had spared him. And so that was Bathsheba to him. And then God now appeared to him. Right? God appeared to him, and that, and God reassured him and gave him this promise once again. It was a confirmation and an assurance of the Lord's covenantal blessing upon Abraham that is now passed on to him. And so verse 26, we continue to read. But meanwhile, when all this was happening, Abimelech had come to him from Gerar. This was the king who had sent him out. And now the king came to find him. And then the king did not come alone, of course. He came with Ahuzzah, his personal advisor, and Philcol, the commander of his forces. So it was a very high-level delegation, not just the king alone, but his whole system. By the way, the SAF has got a new chief of staff. Just announced yesterday. So this was the army chief who came, Philcol. And then continue from there. So Isaac asked him in verse 27, "Why have you come to me, since you were hostile to me and sent me away?" And they answered, We saw clearly that the Lord was with you, so we said, there ought to be a sworn agreement between us and you. Let us make a treaty with you, that you will do us no harm, just as we did not harm you, but always treated you well and sent you away peacefully. And now you are blessed by the Lord. Verse 30, Isaac then made a feast for them, and they ate and drank. And early the next morning, the men swore an oath to each other. They made a treaty. And Isaac sent them on their way, and they went away peacefully. Verse 32. That day, Isaac's servants came and told him about the well they had dug. They said, "We have found water." He said it, Sheba. He called it Sheba. And to this day, the name of the town has been Bathsheba. So, that was the Lord's blessing upon him. So, you see, what can we learn from here? We learn that when Isaac honored God, God honored him. And after Isaac built an altar unto the Lord, his servants dug the well, and then once again, they found water. So, this was the place that had suffered a lot of drought and so on, right? But they found water. And another thing that we learn is that God is glorified when others can see that God is with us. So when God is with us, we will receive the blessing and others can see that we are people of God and God has blessed us. And when they see, is something that glorified, will be glorifying to God. So we are to live lives that will glorify God. Okay? Not only that, when people see, and in this instance, they saw. And so the king himself came to visit Abraham. And this was a stately visit. Okay? A stately visit. And those who had opposed him had to admit that they had seen God's favor upon Isaac, and then resulting in the treaty of peace being initiated by them, and then God allowed Isaac to flourish. So, when God is with us, who can be against us? And let us put God first and strive to obey Him, strive to obey His commands, and find ourselves in the center of God's will for us in our life. When we did not follow God's instructions strictly, or we make some other maneuvers that seem right, we may find ourselves in the peripheral. And unless we find ourselves in the center of God's will for us in our life, the full measure of blessing may not flow. Because when it was supposed to flow where you are found in the peripheral. It's not to say that you have gone completely out, right? You are still in God's cover, okay? But you are not found, if you're not found in the center of God's will for your life. And so it's very important for us to know what God is telling us, to know the will of the Lord for us, and to walk in exactly the place where He has given us. Whether it is in the workplace, whether it is where you live, or even the place that God has settled you in the church. Okay? Where God puts you, that's the place that He has for you. And when God puts us in this church we will grow. So, as I call on the worship team to come, let us bow our heads and just consider these words that I'm releasing to you. So, Isaac, consider these words prayerfully and see what the Lord is telling you. Isaac built an altar unto the Lord at Beersheba and called on the name of the Lord. What could be my Beersheba? Our Beersheba can be seen as symbolizing those events in our lives that cause us to call upon the name of the Lord. Like when tragedy strikes, or heartaches happen, or when we struggle to make important decisions that would affect our future. Just like in the testimony I've shared earlier. When we come before God in this manner, with a heart of worship, with a heart of being in covenant partnership with Him, God will surely show up. And then, when God shows up and reveals His will or promises to us, or rescues us in some way, we can create a personal Beersheba in our hearts. And thank the Lord for His grace and mercy. Then, when times of doubt or conflict come again, we can return to that place over and over again in our hearts to be reassured of God's promises, and that God is fulfilling His plan. Some of you may be going through this struggle at this moment. So, get back in your heart. Get back and rebuild that altar unto the Lord. Reflect upon the times when you called Him, He answered you, and He gave you the victory. Reflect on the promises that He has given you, and claim those promises again. Come, build an altar unto the Lord in your heart, and be refreshed. Receive God's grace. Receive His direction. And be sure, when you receive the direction from God, do not linger. Do not tarry, but move to what He says. Immediately obey His instructions. Remember, when we call on the name of the Lord, He shows up to strengthen us when we are fully committed to Him. Isaac built an altar unto the Lord to honor God and to give thanks. Will you now, from where you are seated, rebuild an altar unto the Lord in your heart and get back to God in a covenantal partnership? Choose to be in the center of God's will in your life. Live a life that will truly please Him and receive the favor of God in your life. Be found in the presence of the Lord in your journey of faith. And so as we rise up to sing this song to be pleasing You, let's worship the Lord even in this singing, telling Him that you want to please Him. Come before the Lord and build an altar unto Him.
Lord, I want to live my life to please You. For You to be reborn, make of me a vessel fit for honor, and I might shine for You as sparkling gold, to be pleasing You.
Pleasing You,
is all I really want to do. This is all I really want to do. This is all I really want to do.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that even as we learn of the journey of faith for Isaac, how exemplary he was in his obedience unto you, that, Lord, that he found himself in your delight, and he found himself receiving your favor, that, Lord, that we too pray that we will be such a person. Lord, that we will be exemplary in our obedience unto your calling, unto your directions, unto the instructions that you give us, so that we will always be found in the center of your will for us in our life, and therefore receive the hundredfold blessing. And that, Lord, that it's so good to be pleasing you, because, Lord, you are the great and mighty God. And today, we set in our hearts that, Lord, that you are really special to us. And we come before you, building an altar unto you, declaring that you are the great God, that you are mighty, and that you are the good God to us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please proceed to your small group, and for those who want to receive prayer, you may come forward.